This is a quick reminder that Brotherhood is free to join until June 1st. Then it will be $25 a year. The Brotherhood has access to all the bonus material the guests leave behind. Go to shavingwithchainsaws.com/brotherhood to sign up for free until June 1st.
I thought it was all my own fault, like positive thinking-wise and personality-wise, or something was wrong with me, but that's when I realized, all right, if I'm going skydiving and not feeling anything, then there's probably something going on.
TJ Nelson of DominateDepression.com is going to be on in a moment. Together, we will share our stories about depression and how we got out of it. Depression in men is underdiagnosed. We think the need to push through the hard times is an element of masculinity. That is partly correct. Wuss asses who melt at the slightest resistance earn no respect. However, if we're pushing through difficulties, and when we finally get around to doing the things that should be joyful to us, and there's little emotional impact, it is an indication we have an imbalance inside of us. Pushing harder now will cause more imbalance. So 3 years ago, my best friend committed suicide in the midst of deep depression. At his funeral, many people asked, how could he do it? Why didn't he just reach out for help? There were so many people that would have helped him. Well, I understood why he did it. Having been suicidal myself, I understood the way anyone's thinking becomes illogical when they're depressed. But it doesn't have to stay that way. Enter this episode's guest, TJ Nelson. He's going to give you quick tips on self-diagnosing the different causes of depression and what you can do to start the natural healing process. Just as a reminder, TJ and I are not medical professionals. Listen, learn, and enjoy, and double-check our crazy ideas with your favorite professional. As a last note, if you are depressed or suicidal, please do reach out to TJ or myself at Christopher@shavingwithchainsaws.com. We, and I, do want to help you. Now let's head off to the interview. All right, we're here with TJ Nelson, and TJ is an expert in depression. But more importantly, how do you get over depression? TJ, welcome to the show.
Good to be on.
Man, it is awesome to have you back. We had some technical difficulties, so I am stoked to have you on here again for the first time for everybody else that's listening. But I had such a blast with you that it actually was a joy to say, hey, can we do this again?
Yeah, I like your energy. It's always fun talking to you.
Well, thank you. Last I heard, you had come out with, well, actually, it wasn't a new course, but you've got a course now. Tell us a little bit about that, and then let's dig into the details of how you came up with it, your life experience about what brought you to it, and then ultimately, how can you help people out?
Basically, I created the program in a systematic way, made it simple to go through different symptom questionnaires, go through all the different causes for depression that a lot of people miss. I mean, I didn't know about any of that stuff a long time ago. And then based on what your symptoms are, what's going on, then having a path to fixing the root causes of depression. Because depression, in my mind, is more of a symptom rather than a cause. So if you find out the root cause of the depression and fix it, then your depression goes away. So when I was depressed, I was trying to read all these books, and I had all this brain fog and confusion and tiredness, so it was hard to dissect all these scientific books. But I figured out how to beat my depression, but it took me a long time, and I realized a lot of people were saying, you know, I just need something that's simple or systematic. And so I just combined all the best books and latest research on depression with people that are actually fixing it out there, and with my own personal experience, and try to make it as simple as possible and just compile it into that program.
Tell me about your personal experience. You know, I know a little bit about it in the sense that we actually talked before that we had some similarities because I went through depression also, and we had some similarities about what we were feeling. I think a lot of the misinformation that we had. So how did you get on this path? Were you at a really good spot beforehand? And then you kind of, I say you went, you go down the dark hole, then you just woke up realizing that you're in this dark hole. Was there a different backstory for you?
Yeah. So my childhood was good. No signs of depression at all. About age, I think it was 12. That's when, I mean, I didn't know I had depression back then. That's when I started getting depression. I had suicidal thoughts. I was was like 12 or 13, and I took like a whole bottle of pills, tried to kill myself, but it was just melatonin, so I woke up like after sleeping.
You just did a droggy sleep after all.
Yeah, it was a poor attempt. I'm glad it was melatonin. But just things like that, like fantasizing about suicide.
Okay. So, keep going.
Oh, yes. Adolescent and junior high and everything, I was really depressed and stuff. I just thought, oh, I was a teenager or something, but I was antisocial, and then I was like, dyed my hair black. All I wore was black. And high school, I was still down, not as bad. But I got to the point where in my depression, then my brother died, and then I was using all these drugs and hitting all these lows. When I really knew that something was wrong, because back then you always hear, oh, it's just, you're just, you know, not living a good life, or just,
yeah, you
got a positive, brother, and you got to, you know, snap out of it. And so I thought it was my problem. But then after, like, riding a bullet bike and I was training to be a certified skydiving, I went skydiving one time, jumped out of the plane, went through the whole thing, had my own chute, and landed, and I didn't feel a thing. And when I realized I just went skydiving and didn't feel anything, I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's like a huge red flag. So you just went through this major life experience that most people are like, yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And so you're telling me you felt nothing.
Yeah, I landed on the ground, and everyone came running up to me, and they're like, hey, how was it? And I just kind of had this straight face, and I was like, man, it was all right.
Was that your first big clue something was wrong?
I knew something was wrong, but I thought it was all my own fault, like positive thinking-wise and personality-wise, or something was wrong with me. But that's when I realized, all right, if I'm going skydiving and not feeling anything, then there's probably something going on. I was at that point, I was like, okay, depression is different, more real than I thought. I didn't know that it was caused by 100% physical reasons.
Yeah.
It wasn't 100% physical, but the root of a lot of mine was physical based.
Yeah, you got to the point where it became physical based.
Yeah, that's when I was like, okay, I got a problem here. It's not just because I'm not thinking positive.
You know what we have to do? We have to stop really quickly and give a little PSA to everybody that's listening. TJ and nor I are medical doctors.
Hmm, yeah.
So you guys are enjoying this. This is our life experience on what it was to go through depression, and where TJ's really talking about how it helped him. Just, you know, just to be clear for everybody that's out there listening, he's got a lot of good stuff, but use your own judgment while you're going through the journey with us. Sorry to interrupt you that way, but let's...
No, that's good. That needs to be said.
You realizing that something is physically wrong with you, and so I imagine you started like trying to figure things out. You know, for me, that was the really weird indication where I couldn't think the way I used to. And that's when I was in my deep depression, where I was like, yeah, I had that big brain fog on and I wanted to get better. And then I think you kind of hinted at this, like maybe you're trying to be positive thinking.
Yeah.
You're trying to do all these things and it still wasn't working. And that's where I had a realization of, something else is going on deeper than just my thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was crazy later is I realized a lot of the negative thinking wasn't the reason for being depressed, but being depressed was causing the negative thinking. I don't know if you found that too, but as soon as my depression lifted, then the thoughts changed as with it.
Yeah. For me, it was a combination. If I did some meditation, and through the meditation, I could get some a little bit more clear thought. And I had just like a little window. And I saw how my negative thinking was holding me back. But it wasn't, like you said, that wasn't the source. And then once I started thinking the right way, my depression started lifting. I guess I felt more hope. What was your experience?
With when depression was lifting?
You said that the thinking wasn't the root, but the depression compounded on the negative thinking.
Yeah. So when I started coming out of depression, I just started feeling so good, and it was like a big rush. It'd be like someone taking cocaine or something. All of a sudden, I'm just my mind starts clearing up. I start having energy. I start having enthusiasm for life. So it was just this huge rush and realization when it started happening. And when I first came out of it, I was a little too obsessed with healthy eating because I solved a lot of it with nutrition. So I was going around just preaching all this healthy eating to everybody, which probably turned a lot of people off. But when I started to come out of it, it was like, and maybe, I mean, I know I recognize a part of my journey was I studied all the cognitive behavioral and the thought stuff. So maybe subconsciously I'd already kind of figured that out and it just came naturally to me after that point. But once I fixed it physically and I actually felt right, it just, everything changed for me at that point.
That's a big leap. You know, if I'm somebody in depression and I'm listening to this, I go, that's a big leap from me being depression and all of a sudden feeling this like almost cocaine high. What were some of the first things you started doing or recognizing to see that it was something more biological that's going on inside of you?
First thing I actually tried was medications. Those didn't work. And actually,
you're talking like typical antidepressants?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they had me on a super high dose eventually because I just had enough depression, so I was like, I'm going to try anything. But when I was on the medication, I couldn't get off of it because the withdrawals were so bad, and that's when I started going to Barnes & Noble and reading all these random books. One of the first books I read was The Mood Cure by Julia Ross. And so my goal was to get off the antidepressant, and in getting off the antidepressant, I was learning the tools to actually beat depression. So,
did you find that a good book? Would you recommend that to somebody?
Oh, yeah. That book changed everything for me.
What was it again?
The Mood Cure by Julia Ross.
Okay.
So I used amino acids because I was taking a super high dose of Celexa. And you can take, because how you naturally produce serotonin is amino acids and protein. So you take tryptophan that gets converted into 5-HTP, which is converted into 5-HT, which is serotonin. So I started taking 5-HTP and L-tryptophan with some B vitamins to help the conversion. And I started taking that while weaning off the Celexa and then going after all my other nutritional deficiencies. I was deficient in magnesium and vitamin D as well. And then I started eating extremely healthy, identified a few food allergies and started eliminating them. And so getting off the antidepressant is what taught me all these tools to actually produce serotonin and
get my brain. How did you know that you were deficient in the minerals? Did you like take a blood test or something?
At the time, I didn't take blood tests. I was just going off my symptoms, but I would recommend anybody to take blood tests because it would shortcut your process a ton. I wish I would have just done testing from the beginning.
Okay. Great. So, continue on. So you started taking some B vitamins to help with the, what did you say? You like the,
I don't remember.
Am I throwing you off? Okay. We're just going to start the whole thing over again. Well, hello, TJ. It's good to see you. No, you were saying something along the lines of you're taking the B vitamins to help balance out or to help you with serotonin levels.
To help the L-tryptophan convert into serotonin. I forget if it's B6 or B3 in which step, but B6 and B3 are both involved in the conversion from tryptophan all the way to serotonin. So I was taking B vitamins, a little extra niacin, and tryptophan. And I was experimenting with a bunch of random supplements. I mean, I would have done it a lot more systemized if I knew what I knew now then. But I was experimenting with a bunch of different minerals, vitamins, supplements. But tryptophan with the B vitamins was boosting my serotonin. Okay. So I was able to get off the antidepressant. And then from there, I was using it to further boost my serotonin, feel better, and then I was correcting deficiencies. I was later took blood tests and I showed, well, some people are a little half and half on getting a blood test for magnesium, but my magnesium was low, vitamin D was low. I had slight adrenal fatigue as well, which I had to fix.
Oh yeah, it's very common. It sounds like you were always kind of going too, weren't you?
Yeah, I was constantly in stressed out mode as well, on top of the depression, because I was in college and I was moving around all the time, having to make money, you know, threat of being homeless, and then my best friend of 17 years died, and that's what caused me to say, screw it, I'm going to do whatever it takes to beat depression in a year. Or I actually wrote a note that I was going to kill myself in 1 year after my friend died if I didn't fix my depression. And that's what really just was like, I'm going to do whatever it takes, because I had had enough. And so I was it's really interesting
story. Weird because,
yeah, I started out my depression when I was a kid. When I was 12, my life was amazing. And it started out, something was going on physically, but later on there was a whole bunch of trauma in my life that just compounded it. So
I got a question for you. This is just personally you, not necessarily general for people with depression. Did you find in your own personal recollection or reflection that the trauma contributed to your depression?
Oh yeah. Yes, it did.
So, like, what was some of the trauma that you experienced?
Well, when I was growing up, and my family was really healthy and good as a kid, but then there was divorce. My older brother was...
How old are you when your parents got divorced?
I think I was 14.
Okay.
My older brother was abusive to me, and then he got cancer and died in a month, and it was like extremely traumatizing because it was just... He had this peritoneum cancer, and it was just ripping his insides open, and he came home one day and was like screaming from the pain, like yelling in my face to shoot him in the head with a shotgun because his pain was so bad, and I had to get in the ambulance at 16 years old, and the ambulance driver didn't know how to get to the cancer institute, so I had to direct him how to get there while my brother was in the back screaming from pain. And then after that, I was kind of moving around from home to home, had money problems, and then, I mean, I had the drug addiction.
When you say you're moving around from home to home, were you traveling with your mom, or were you all by yourself at this point?
At that point, I was bouncing from living with my father to living with my mother.
Okay.
Finally, I was able to get my own place, lived in a low-income housing. But so my life had a sense of being out of my control, you know, that kind of learned helplessness type of feeling.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting that you bring that up, because that's the point where I felt my depression was the lowest, was where I just felt like everything was out of control. And what was more frustrating is that every time I tried to go take control back, it just kept on slipping away more and more. And, you know, just speaking for myself, that's where my suicidal thoughts started coming in. And it was really weird, because I started thinking, well, here's the one thing I have control over. In my own twisted mind at that point, I'm thinking it actually feels great to have control over something. It's ironic that if I take that control, then I end all control of my life, but it seemed logical at the time. Mm-hmm. And even now I can still see how it makes sense, because I haven't been down that dark hole. But that's exactly right. I had lost all control of everything else around me.
Yeah, you're saying like having the control to end your life gave you a sense of control?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what, if people have never been depressed, the idea of suicide just seems completely bizarre. But it's, I know when you're in that state, it's like that seems like a logical option, and that's what's scary about depression. In that state, it seems like a good choice.
It does. It actually does. It feels like relief. It feels like something you can... It is so hard to describe, even once you've been in it. But it's... Like I just said before, it feels like I finally had control over something when there was no other control.
Yeah.
You said something earlier that completely tweaked my interest, which was when you started taking these B vitamins, did you start feeling a difference inside of you? Because you talked about at the very end when you were coming out of depression that you felt like you were on this ultimate high. But what was it like in the middle?
In the middle, it was my brain's going up and down. I had some big ups, but some big downs. So it was just a constant, it was a roller coaster, and I'd feel like, yeah, I've beat it, and then I'd come back into depression. But over time, it was, you know, like an up and down line, but it was slowly moving up. So in the beginning, that was what was hard when I was fixing it, fixing my depression, was you'd think you'd beat it, and then you'd have a big relapse and fall down again and make you question everything if you really had knew what you were doing. But over time, finally, I had gotten to a point where with how healthy I was eating, sleeping, and exercising, meditating every day, and correcting my deficiencies, like I just felt awesome, like pretty much every day. And so
yeah,
it was just insane to me, because doctors had told me before that, they'd had multiple people tell me, hey, TJ, you've got a disease, you've got to take medication for the rest of your life, there's nothing you can do about it, you have this thing called depression. But then there I was, not depressed and not on any medication. So it was just, my whole mind was blown, and it just made me realize that depression needs to be, I mean, depression is a very complex thing. It's not like anybody that does what I did is going to fix their depression. But
right. But so I've got two questions for you based on that then. The first one is, I know that you've helped a lot of people by sharing your story and you've gotten feedback. Have you heard a similar story where people will have this, they feel like they're fixing it and they feel like they relapse? So it's the same kind of like a roller coaster ride or merry-go-round effect?
Yeah, and a lot of it is people that are getting off antidepressants. A lot of people have taken antidepressants for a long time. It can take the brain a while to rewire. There's one guy I've been working with, awesome guy. He was taking medication, a strong one, for about 25 years, I think.
And oh, wow, a long time.
Yeah, he's been off it for months now, and he's had a roller coaster, and it's been up and down, up and down. But in overall, he's improving, but he'll be fine, and then bam, just has a few days where he's down, and then comes back up. So there's definitely the up and down with people just coming out of depression. It's there, and it's kind of hard, because it's hard to sell something like, hey, you know, find out your root causes, slowly heal your depression over the course of a few months through trial and error. You know?
Right. That's a good selling point as a marketer. Hey, slowly and not so sure results. Sign up here.
Yeah, so it's like the real solution is more a long-term solution, and it can take a few weeks, few months, and to really be 100%, and that's why I think medication is so attractive, because you can take it and in a day you've got relief. But long term, depression's more learning about what's causing your depression in the first place, healing your body, and that can take a little while. I mean, some people, it's like one guy, his symptoms just sounded like a B12 deficiency, and I told him to try B12. And he just started taking B12, and that was it. And he was done. His depression was gone. But it's not always that simple.
Yeah. So, okay. So the next question I have for you is, do you still find yourself sometimes having low days?
I have had low days, but I have not had – and a lot of my low days have actually been from digestive issues created by Thailand. The street food can be quite dangerous. Over there?
What street food? Thai food?
Yeah, I got like post-infectious IBS from eating the street food in Thailand.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's not good. That's definitely not good.
I would say the difference between my low days now is when I'm low, it's more of just a healthy kind of low, or a sadness, or like a healthy response to, yeah, I feel low because I just moved and got to readjust or something. But okay. I haven't had a depressive episode like I used to for years. I mean, it used to be I'd get a depressive episode and I couldn't function for like a month.
Okay.
And it got so bad one time I heard voices in my head. I thought I was schizophrenic back in the day. So I have not had a depression like that in years since. But I mean, being low is just I mean, there's a difference between being low, being sad, and being depressed.
Yeah.
And so,
you're basically saying you just felt like normal lows. A very high day one day, and then it's a little bit low the next day, or you're in a new situation. You said like you moved, so there's just that little bit of natural anxiety of being in a new place and not feeling quite settled or safe yet.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So you've talked a bit about there's these different physical things that happen. What are some of the common ones that that somebody can experience that could go wrong with them?
A big one actually is digestive issues. If somebody has food allergies or they're getting bloated every time they eat, a lot of people with digestive issues are going to have anxiety and be depressed. And if your digestive system's messed up, you're just not going to be feeling good.
Okay.
A lot of people overstress or something have some adrenal fatigue going on. There's a lot of people with deficiencies. A lot of people I ask them to go get a vitamin D test, and a lot of them are really low in vitamin D, and they raise vitamin D up and they see improvement.
Okay.
And a lot of people just don't recognize that their diet plays a big role. Like, so some people think they're eating healthy or they're not, or some people are eating healthy, but they're not eating enough healthy fats and protein. I mean, the brain, I forget the percentage, like 70-80% made up of fat. So if somebody's not eating any fat, they're going on the low-fat diet, it can make them feel worse, and then they start eating stuff like walnuts, avocados, olive oil, coconut oil,
okay,
and they feel better from that. So it's a lot of people, it's just kind of tweaking what they're doing, or there's deficiency going on. And then there's some people that have a whole range of stuff going on. And like one guy, he was having all sorts of symptoms, and he had digestive symptoms and deficiencies and slight adrenal fatigue, and it sounded like parasites, and he started doing parasite cleanse and like was in his stool seeing all these weird worms and bugs and it's pretty nasty stuff.
And so that you're saying that contributed to his depression?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Wow. So when you said that depression is complex, you're really saying that there is a lot of things that could go on. And I'm actually really curious about this, is that where was this person that was taking or that had the parasites in them, were they on antidepressants beforehand?
I forget if he was on antidepressants or not.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering if like there's this misdiagnosis.
Oh, yeah, that's all the time. That's what happened to me.
You got any other physical things
that are common? It sounds like it was a big fad, like, oh, gluten, and it's just a fad. But a lot of people have some kind of food allergy that is causing them to not feel very good, or sugar is huge. I had one lady, and she just had to eat her bread. And just the fact that she had to eat her bread was a sign to me, allergic reaction to food. The allergic reaction in and of itself can be addictive.
Okay.
Because it can release certain opiates or inflammatory response. It actually feels good at first. And she just had to have her bread. And I just like, look, just try cutting it out for 2 weeks. Try cutting it out for 2 weeks. And she's like, no, I got to eat my bread. And then finally she cut it out for 2 weeks. And then she started feeling better.
Okay.
So sometimes it can be you're just eating bread, or you're eating too much sugar, or you're drinking milk and you got a slight allergy. And some people that fight me on that, I just say, hey, just try cutting out common food allergy foods for 2 weeks. See what happens. If you feel better, then you can not eat them and be, you know, depression free. Or if you don't feel a difference, you can go back to eating them.
Yeah.
Trying to think what else.
Well, I got a segue for you, which is really your own personal story, because I find it fascinating. You started coming out of depression. So you got this point when you're coming out of depression. Did your friends start coming up to you and saying, hey, TJ, I've noticed a change about you? So, or maybe another way to ask this question is, so what made you think you could start sharing this information? Maybe it became your passion. Where did that switch start happening for you?
Well, yeah, nobody actually was coming up to me saying there was a big change. And I think I was a little too
crazy about going around saying, you know, spreading the message. And
you became the antidepressant zealot.
Yeah, I was
going out to everybody. You gotta try this. You gotta try it. It's amazing.
Stop eating sugar. And they're just, you know, like, holy crap, this guy's crazy. Yeah, and then I would never been able to make much money in a job. And when I finally was beating my depression, and I went and sold cars, and I made a good money, and it was because, you know, I had energy, was able to go out there and
really interesting work.
And at that point, I'd already come up with the idea of, hey, I'll beat my depression. I want to kind of share the message. And I made a website, but I didn't do anything with it. And I was selling cars for a while. And then I said, you know what? I've got all this knowledge in my head. I want to get it out there. The worst that's going to happen, I'm gonna change some lives, whatever. And then that's when I bought the one-way ticket to Thailand and started making the website.
Okay.
I would say, I mean, a lot of when I was coming out of depression, I was changing who I was, and still a rough ride, like figuring out everything. But
well, tell us a little bit about that. You started coming out of depression. Now you're having a big life change. It sounds like you're feeling hopeful, particularly hopeful that you wanted to construct a life to fit who you were or who you are. And so you make this big leap to come to, well, you said did you go to Chiang Mai? Is that where you went?
Yeah, I went to Chiang Mai.
Okay. So you traveled up to Chiang Mai, which is a great place, but that could be really scary for somebody who's in depression because it's all this change. There's a lot of unknowns. Did you find that true for yourself, or was the trip itself actually a healing process for you?
So, yeah, that was a huge thing I realized is with depression, when I had depression, I was always worried about trying to time my mood, or like, okay, if I sign up for this class, in a few weeks, if I get depressed, I can't do it. Or if I go do this, then I might fail because I'm going to get depressed. So it was actually huge to move to Thailand because it was like, first I was kind of like, what if I get depressed or something? But then I was like, I felt confident in myself that I could move out there and do it because I hadn't been depressed in so long. So I was able to book that ticket. And now it's just like, if I want to go somewhere, I can do it because I don't have that constant fear of I might get depressed. And then when I was in Thailand, it was very healing, just the process of writing it out, making videos, and putting out the knowledge I had learned. And it was a good, really good project for me because not only was I helping everybody else, but it was kind of like solidifying my knowledge. And some of it was, you know, for the longest time, I still probably have a little bit of this, but I would dissociate from my feelings because when I was depressed, I'd try to tell people, you know, hey, I'm depressed or I'm experiencing this. And they would, you know, they didn't know how to react. And I wouldn't either.
Oh, no, I remember that several times. I'd just be like, I'm really bummed and I'm sad right now. And actually, I feel numb. I remember saying that a couple times. And people would just be like, they just look at you with this look like they wanted to help you, but they're almost scared. I remember kind of looking at that look like, oh, you know, things will be okay. And I just remember something like, well, I don't know, but it's okay right now. This is just how I feel.
Yeah. They want to fix it or whatever. And you're like, no, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And so, that was huge. I learned not to trust my feelings because I was having all these feelings, but then they weren't being validated and I didn't feel real. And I was like, shit, you know, nobody's hearing me. And so I kind of disassociated from my feelings and what was real.
Well, and then, how did you do that? Because that's a big leap. I had to do the same thing. Like some days I go, like today feels like, excuse my language, it just feels like shit. And I was like, I go, okay, today's going to feel like shit. I didn't necessarily like, oh, today's going to feel like shit. But I was just like, all right, today's going to feel like shit and I'm still going to go do my stuff. So what was the step that you did to help you disassociate for the feelings?
It was kind of like learning to love myself in a way. It was like, okay, I trust myself. I know how I feel deep inside. I don't got to look for external validation or people to validate my experience. Like, I know how I feel. This is what's going on, and I get to trust that. And I tell a lot of people with depression to trust that too. Like, hey, if you feel depressed, then it's likely you're depressed. You don't got to double check yourself. I mean,
It's sort of like, hey, if your arm feels broken, it's probably broken. You don't really need to go like, hey, did we check to see if my arm's broken again? Is this really broken?
That's a perfect analogy. I'm going to have to steal that, the broken arm. Yeah, if you break your arm, you can feel it and you can be like, okay, my arm's broken. But a lot of people don't trust their own feelings, especially with depression. And so I just learned, like, when I was writing on the website, like, this is my true experience. This is what I really went through, and this is how it is. And I mean, one thing that kind of helped me a little bit on that little off tangent is 6 pillars of self-esteem. And then just because I'd wake up and you'd write, like, do these self-acceptance exercises and stuff. And it was talking about how, you know, your feelings are your feelings. They're not good or bad. And you just breathe them in and accept them. Yeah. And I think that can help too with depression, because sometimes if people start feeling depressed, they start freaking out and they start, oh no, this is going to happen. I'm screwed. And you start going down that spiral.
Yeah.
But if you just say,
I find a lot with guys who haven't been emotional for a lot in their life, and then all of a sudden when they get depressed, they start feeling a lot more emotions, and they start freaking out. Like, oh, I got these emotions. I don't know what to do with them. And they think there's something broken inside of them because they're feeling intense emotions. And it is a little bit more than, let's say, quote-unquote healthy. But I like the way that you phrased it, which is, just say, these are the emotions I'm having. They don't necessarily equate to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like, I happen to be wearing a blue shirt today.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm experiencing depression, but it doesn't mean you're doomed to depression. No.
I am not the blue shirt.
Yeah.
I'm not even destined to wear the blue shirt the rest of my life. Today, I'm wearing a blue shirt.
I'm going to have to steal that one too.
It's copyrighted for everybody else, but for you, you can use it for free. This is my gift to you.
One blue shirt. Yeah, depression's like a blue shirt. It's not a life sentence. It's just something that's happening to you, and you, once you figure out what's going on and work through it, whether it's emotional, whether it's a life, like a divorce or something, whether it's you got to let out emotions, or whether it's you've got adrenal fatigue or thyroid issues, then once you work through it and fix it, then the depression will lift.
Yeah. So how can somebody work this all out? You've kind of written a little guide, I guess you could say. Why don't you step us through the typical process that you would take somebody through, or I could say it this way, which is, what's the process that seems to work generally well? Because I just want to reiterate that everybody's unique. And then the process that you are describing, it may work for somebody that's listening, or it may not. But it doesn't mean that they're unfixable if this doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what's the process that you've gone through that seemed to help, and what can somebody do?
The thing that works the best is I really look at somebody's symptoms. And as they tell me more and more what they're experiencing, you can kind of start figuring out more and more what's the most likely cause. And based off that and seeing kind of what they're eating, seeing what their life is like, I can basically make the best possible guess. And then you start going down the line, and I mean, if people can get blood tests, man, it just helps a ton. But I mean, if somebody has insomnia, anxiety, and they haven't slept in a long time, and they're all getting panic attacks and stuff, that's different than somebody that's just feels numb, no motivation, everything's flat feeling in life. That's different kind of depression versus
somebody.
So
you're saying those are like two different types of depression?
Yeah, depression there's different kinds of depression, and the main kinds that most of these top people are talking about is a deficiency in catecholamines and a deficiency in serotonin. And I mean, some people think depression, a lot of it's caused by inflammation, but low in catecholamines is the numb, just everything, nothing's exciting. You're just kind of just zoning out and everything's just kind of blah, you know.
Was that the one that you had?
I had a combination of both, because you can have a combination of both. And the other, the serotonin, that's more the self-defeating thoughts, the self-hatred, the doomsday thinking, like life's never going to get better.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
The low catecholamines, typically those people can sleep as long as they want and they never feel well rested, whereas low serotonin people have insomnia and can't sleep very well. So it's not, yeah, depression can be experienced in many different ways. And so based on the symptoms of depression and what's going on, you kind of just say, okay, with this and what's going on, this is a likely cause. And you kind of just start hacking away at it from the best route. And then as you are hacking away at it, you start to learn more and more, and then until you start getting all the puzzle pieces together.
Okay. You've got that. I think that's what we talked about, was that that's the kind of body of knowledge that you've put together, right, for people. Like you've got a little self-study program that people can go through.
Mm-hmm. That's what I put in the program. It's got all the, you know, checklists, you know, omega-3 deficiency, thyroid, pyroluria, all the, and then the different depression types, and then the best routes to go at it.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that course is I like the course just because people, when they sign up, it's just a one time, and then they have lifetime access to it. So any updates and stuff too, and then they get all the knowledge there, and then they learn, and then so a lot of people, they'll take the course, and then if they want like additional support, they can sign up for coaching. Some people just go straight for the coaching, but I like it. I think best route is if people get that knowledge and they get the tools for themselves, and then they kind of use me to assist, help them help themselves type of deal. But
yeah, like a true coach, almost like a weightlifter. So somebody knows the sets and reps that they need to do. You're just there to tweak it a little bit, or to tell them just, you know, push a little bit harder. You're right on track.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Some people don't want to just be watching a video though. It's just too, they're already depressed and isolated and lonely, and they just want to get on and have somebody go through it for them. And that's totally fine too. That's good stuff. But
is there I don't know why I'm asking this question. It just felt like a right question, but is there like a typical type person that you end up working with? Do you know, you see a certain pattern, maybe in lifestyle, same kind of similar story? I get that with my clients. Oh, yeah. All right. I know exactly where you're at. Do you have something similar?
It's quite varied. I'd say most people that find me is because they've had a negative experience with antidepressants.
Okay.
And because the solution I'm kind of presenting is more later down the road. Like if you first get depression or something, the first thought is usually just positive thinking, try medication, try all these other things first. So it's usually pretty much people that find me have already tried a bunch of things and have failed. And then they're like, okay, none of this stuff worked. And then they find me and they're like, okay, here's a different picture going on. So I'd say most people that find me have already tried several things and have failed and still depressed.
Yeah, okay. Great. Well, not great that they're still depressed, but great that you're there.
Yeah.
I'm actually giggling on the inside. Sometimes I was like with my clients, you know, they get stuck in business. They go like, this week really sucked. I discovered that I'm terrible at this. And I go, that's great. That's fantastic. And they'll be like, I get this little weird look, and they'll be like, what the hell are you talking about? I just said it sucked. And I go, I know you just said it sucked, but now we know where it sucks. You didn't know where it sucked before. This is fantastic news. We've got a place to start. Let's get working.
Yeah, exactly. That's good.
Well, TJ, what can people do if they want to find out more about you? Where can they go?
You can go to dominatedepression.com. They can click on contact, send me an email, or they can sign up to my email list and just respond to the emails that I send people. And that's typically how people start, and they'll sign up for the email list. The email list has free information just sending into them almost every day, like 5 days on, 2 days off. So it just hits them with a lot of the stuff they can start doing now to start getting some quick relief so they're not so down in the hole. And then through there, they can email me questions, ask me stuff like, hey, I've been doing this. What do you think? And kind of start a conversation that way.
Fantastic. That's great. Now, I think you also have a special offer for the Brotherhood, something that they can kind of come check out. So just a special offer for anybody who's in the Brotherhood. And if you don't know about the Brotherhood, just go to the website. It's free to get in for now. But what was it that you had to offer for them?
Yeah, so if anyone in the Brotherhood, if they want to get in on the course, can do a free trial for a week, and they can get in, they can look at all the checklists, the symptoms, and see if any of them line up. And so it gives them a head start on, hey, I've got all the symptoms for like hypoglycemia or something. Maybe I got to mess around with my blood sugar or cut out all these simple carbs or something. And so anyone in there can join in and get all that information for a week, and just so they have all the knowledge and start working towards a better path instead of just, you know, throwing darts in the dark. They actually know, hey, it's likely cause, and they can go at it.
Well, that's very generous of you. Thank you for offering it to the brothers.
Yeah.
Man, I wish I had it when I was going through my depression. You know, mine I was able to work through with antidepressants, but I had a very, very good doctor that was with me, and a very holistic doctor that was talking about, well, these are just a crutch that we're going to use for a short amount of time. We're going to help you eat right and then also think right. And that's what ended up helping me stay on my antidepressants for a short time. But man, I wish I had this when I was going through it.
Yes, that sounds like an amazing doctor.
Yeah, she was amazing. All right, my friend, you got any last words of advice or anything that I didn't ask you that you wish I did?
I would just say to anybody that's listening to this, if they're depressed, just the most important thing to know is that there is a cause. So whatever it is, whatever's going on, there is a way to beat your depression. All you got to do is just keep going at it. Like when I was depressed, you know, I always just thought I was screwed for the rest of my life. It wasn't until I made that decision to try everything that I actually found something. So anybody that's depressed, I just would urge them to realize, like, I know if you're depressed, you know, your mind isn't going to want to accept this, or it might go through the filter, but you really got to know that there is something going on. There is a reason for your depression, and once you find it, or when you can overcome it, whether that's, you know, short-term antidepressants fixing your thinking, whether that's changing your diet, whether that's fixing your insomnia, whatever it is, there's something going on, and you can fix it. So just keep going at it. Don't ever just think you're screwed for the rest of your life.
Man, I'm so glad that you solved it, because it's good to have you around.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge with us, sharing out of your life today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, brother, see you on the flip side. As a last note, I want to thank you for joining us today. I also want to hear from you. Your support, comments, and reviews are highly valuable to the creative direction with Shaving with Chainsaws. Go to shavingwithchainsaws.com/iTunes, leave a review, and tell me what you found worthwhile. I look forward to hearing from you. Until the next episode, keep doing the impossible with work, women, and self.